and gentlemen, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, we have gone all the way in the culture from Madonna singing Papa Don't Preach into the churches, and the churches are saying preachers don't preach. The time will come when they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But Paul gives a word concerning apostasy, and with a note of urgency, he says to the young preacher, preach the word. That's what God wants the preacher to do in this day.
Was in him. Then if you'll look in the next verse, in the latter part of that verse, you'll find that he was a faithful man. Far as much as he was faithful. Without that, we'll never please God without being faithful. No matter how much ability a person has, God's looking for faithfulness. Amen. And then third, if you'll notice in verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, we're all familiar with what writing he's speaking about, the forbidding of prayer to any god except the gods of Babylon, when he knew that that writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In that verse, there's two other things about this great man of God. Thirdly, he was a prayerful man. He prayed. A person that doesn't pray will never get anything done for God. Fourth, in that verse, he was consistent. It wasn't just something he had began to do. He had been doing it all the time, aforetime. Then in verse number 12, you see a fifth thing. Here he was a persecuted man. Because of these first four, it brought persecution to him. We all know the story, how they come to get the man of God and to carry him away. Then, if you look over in verse 22, you'll find that he was a protected man. God protected him even in the time of great danger. So has God done every one of us in times of danger. And then, seventhly, if you'll notice in verse 23, the latter part of that verse, because he believed in God, he lived a life of faith. And then in verse number 26, you can see that he was fruitful and very prosperous in his life for God. Now, those are some of the attributes of this great man. I want to pray and bring you the message on why God found delight in Daniel. Would you pray with us now? As we ask God to bless. Our Father, I thank you for this week that we have before us. We thank you for last night and already today, the fellowship that's been so wonderful. Lord Jesus, I pray the next few moments that you'd gird at the loins of our minds, and may all of us have our minds centered upon the things of God. And Heavenly Father, speak to all of us today. Even the old familiar truths of God, may they be new and fresh today. I pray that you'd bless and use me as a vessel of honor. Pour through me something that would be a help to these that listen. Then I pray you'd bless Brother Billy as he expounds the Word of God to us. And on through the evening services, may this be a great day for the people of God. Lord Jesus, thrill our hearts today. Encourage us and make us better Christians. And we'll praise you for that, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Remember, in the time of darkness, God will have someone to stand. Now, in the book of Daniel, before we get into the five things I want to discuss with you, notice some strange things about the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, God is not speaking to Israel. In the book of Daniel, he's speaking to a man. God has disinherited Israel. The time of the Gentile has started. And nowhere in the Word of God except in Psalms 137 is it recorded what went on in the time of the captivity in detail. God blotted that time out. There are several places in the Bible that God blots out some places. In between one verse in the book of Hebrews, God blots out 40 years. By faith, they crossed to the Red Sea. The next verse, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. God blotted out 40 years because it was a time that faith was not exhibited. Amen. And God blotted out. And I wonder how many times in our life, when we stand before God, how many years and days will be blotted out because we did not live in obedience to the Word of God. But in the book of Daniel, God does not use the name Jehovah, the covenant name of God, but once or twice. That's the covenant name of God. He's not dealing with Israel now as a covenant-related God. He's speaking of them as a God of judgment. And he uses the name of Almighty God, the God of judgment, the God of sovereignty. He's God, and beside him there's none other. And in this great book, there are some strange things that we love to preach, but we'll move on. But here in the life of Daniel, he is one of the cleanest characters found in all the Bible. He and Joseph, I suppose, are two of the cleanest men found in all the Bible. But we know that neither of them was perfect, because never was a child born except outside the Garden of Eden. And that makes all sinners. And so was Daniel. But the thing is that he stayed true to God when everybody else didn't. Him and just maybe a couple or three others stayed true to God when the majority went after darkness. And because of his pure character, God let that man live. Even in his 80th and 90th years, he was still an instrument God was using. Age has no bearing upon how God can use a person. It's the obedience of a child of God that causes God to use us. Why, God can pour through a 90-year-old man as well as he can a 20-year-old man. It's the vessel God wants and obedience in that person's life. Why, from the time that Daniel was a small lad, he had the occasion to be spoiled by the things of the world. He had saw his nation go into captivity. He saw them hang their harps upon the willows. He saw them when that great song that all the world had heard from Israel, when hundreds of thousands of people would come to hear Israel sing. He saw that nation dejected and with no song in their heart, sitting by the canals of Babylon. He saw how the judgment of God had fallen upon that nation. And even as a young man, he purposed in his heart that he would not become defiled, but in walk with God. That caused him to live through three empires, and God used him all the way through those great empires. Dear friend, God still does the same thing today to those that will walk with him. Now, there's a reason that God used Daniel. You see, Israel was in captivity because they had turned to idolatry, number one. Second, because they would not heed the words of the prophets of God. And third, because the sabbatical laws of God had been ignored. But Daniel was one of the three men in the Scriptures that would not take the golden chain offered to the man of God. And it's very significant in the Scripture where a gold chain is offered to a man of God. You see, gold is the most sought after treasure by man in this world. Man has died. He's committed murder to gain gold. And here in the Word of God, three men turns away a golden chain that the Pharaoh, a picture of Satan, is offered to the man of God. And the reason that all three of them turned those gold chains away is because all three of them knew that one glorious event was going to take place. All three of them knew that there's going to be an exodus. why Joseph was offered a golden chain of comfort. Moses was offered a golden chain of conquest. Jesus was offered that same thing if he'd concede to the devil. But Daniel was offered one. Paul refused. Now gold blinds a man and chains binds a man. But all three of these men knew that there was going to be an exodus. Joseph knew that. He said, "Don't leave my bones in Egypt." He knew God was going to come and deliver those people. Well, he ought to have loved Egypt, but he didn't. Everything that he ever had came to him in Egypt. But he knew there's something greater in Egypt. He knew God was going to cause an exodus out of that land. If you'll notice, the golden chain that Pharaoh offered to him is an absolute counterfeit of everything the father gave the prodigal when he come home, except one thing. Everything that the father gave the prodigal was offered to Joseph, but one thing. The Pharaoh never told Joseph he could have a pair of shoes. Because slaves don't wear shoes in the Word of God, and Satan will never give you liberty. Amen. Till all of his finds you. But Joseph knew, just as Daniel knew, that God would one day deliver those people out of that country. Hallelujah. Moses wouldn't take the chain. They never regarded that chain as a treasure. And neither did Daniel. He knew after 70 years God sent them home. Moses knew God had come down to deliver them. And you know today, and I know, that soon there's going to be a deliverance, thank God, out of this land in Exodus. I don't want nothing to blind me. I don't want nothing to bind me. When that time comes, I want to sail away home, thank God, free from all the chains. Now, Daniel refused those. But there was a definite reason in the life of Daniel that God found great delight in this young man. Four simple thoughts. There were some things that Daniel kept open. Anytime that anything's done under the boards, under the table, anything hidden, I don't care what it is, it's got to be above the board with God. And if anything's hid from God or man, then it's in secret. Why, God knows about us anyhow. God knows all about me. He knows all about mine. He knows about you. He knows about yours. And when everything's above the board, then God can use us. Anything's closed up and hid, you might as well forget it. But there's four things that Daniel kept open with God that must be kept open in our life if God's ever going to use us. And the first great thing that you find that was open in this man of God's life, when everybody else had forgotten it, nobody else has mentioned is ever opening it. Here was a man that kept the Word of God open. He kept God's Word open. Amen. Though hundreds and hundreds of years had passed, and everybody else had forgot the Book of God, he didn't. Now you look down through the Scriptures, you'll find that at the birth of our Lord, the darkness came because the Bible was a neglected book. Very few had searched the Scriptures. Just a few were looking, knowing the time, the seasons. You go back in the Bible, you find that once the Bible was a lost book. But when it was found, the light came, revival came. My friend, the day we're living, it's a perverted book. Now, the devil's not out to hide the Bible. He knows he can't do that. But he's perverted what God said in the Scriptures. But Daniel kept the Word of God open. If you go back in the life of Daniel, you'll see in his childhood, he, like all the other Jewish boys, was raised in the strictness of the Word of God. In the time of captivity, he didn't forget it or forsake it. But here in the verse that I read to you, He opened his windows towards Jerusalem. Why in the world would he do that? Because back in the book of 1 Kings, when Israel was in her zenith, when her borders reached out further than they had in any other time of Israel's history, when the glory of God rested upon Israel and the place of worship, when the glory of God filled the temple, we hear the prayer of fallen from the man of God's lips on that day with wisdom. When Solomon prayed, and he said, "If thy people go out to battle against their enemies, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house that I have built for thy name," he goes on, listen, "and so return unto thee with all their heart," talks about him being taken captive, "and so return with all their hearts and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee towards their land, which thou gavest them and their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name." Listen now. "Then hear there their prayers and supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause." When everybody else forgot the word of God, amen. Daniel, open God's Bible.
Amen.
Oh, friend, what America needs is a return to the word of Almighty God, and the foolishness of this hour forgotten. Our brother preached last night. It still pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save people that believe. That's God's only method He'll ever use. It's the only one with any power in it. I'll give you three things about the Word of God. I want to talk to you about its worth. I want to talk to you about its wonder. Number one, first of all, the worth of the Word of God. Oh, the worth of the Word of God, how profitable the Scripture tells us it is. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then he says it's profitable. There's a profit in every word of God. How profitable it is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That one verse outlines all the New Testament from the book of Romans on. But its worth, have you ever thought about the worth of the Word of God? How profitable it really is in your life? Job said, Neither have I gone back from the commandments of thy lips, but I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. It's worth more than the little food upon your table. Job said it's worth more than silver and gold. Oh, what a prophet in the Word of God. I read the other day where a Russian preacher behind the Iron Curtain for 2 long years had preached with 1 page from a Bible. All he had was 1 page to out of the Bible and preached 2 years from it. Why, he could have preached 20 years from it if that's all God didn't let him have. Why, there's more on 2 pages of the Word of God than in all the libraries of man upon this earth. Because the breath of God is in those 2 pages, if that's all man's got. I refer Abraham Lincoln. They walked in on him one day, and he's on his knees. And they said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "I am presently engaged in a profitable study of the Word of God." They said, "How do you know it's profitable?" He said, "Because of the peace it gives my heart." Oh, the profit of the peace of God that comes from reading of the Word. When men are searching for peace everywhere, it's in the Word of God. Oh, the worth, if we just keep that Bible open like Daniel did. When everybody else turned away from it, he kept it open before him and claimed God's promises that was written aforetime. Oh, thank the Lord. Notice, secondly, not only the worth of the Word of God, but the wonder of the Word of God. Other books come and go. My word shall not pass away. Why, they've burned it
Hitler lighted the skies of Germany with it. He thought he destroyed every copy of the Word of God in Germany. My friend, they could destroy every copy on the face of the earth and still not destroy it. Because there's two places they'll never get to. It's forever settled in heaven, and thank God, it's settled in the hearts of God's people. The wonder of the Word of God. Down through the thousands of years, the Word of God, like no other book, has been doing several things. First of all, it's been converting souls to God. No other book can do that. Why, the greatest printing press in the world today is Jehovah's Witness. And you can even tell that rotten mess by the smell of the paper, can you? I don't even have to read it. I can smell the paper and tell where it comes from. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, their presses never stop. But it cannot convert souls like the Word of God.
Amen.
Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why, it's been not only converting men, but that same Word of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, it's been cleansing man. Why, have you ever thought what happened to you if you just got saved, that's all it was to it? Why, the Word of God been perpetually cleansing God's people, been washing by the Word ever since you've been saved. That's the reason man cannot get away from the house of God. That's the reason he cannot get away from the gift of Christ of the church. Because every time a man of God preaches, that Word of God's like clear water running over rocks. You never seen a dirty rock in a branch. They just won't hold dirt. The Word of God keeps us clean through the years. Have you ever felt so dirty? Your mind got cluttered and your conscience wasn't just right. You come to the house of God and the man of God preach, and the Word flow like water. Glory to God. And your leaves cleansed, thank God, under the washing of the water of the Word. Oh, the wonder of that book. It's been converting souls. It's been cleansing the saints. It's been challenging the servants of God all these years. All this puppycock men get up and try to challenge men with their ideas puts me to sleep. But I read Nehemiah chapter 2. And every time I read it or preach from it, God stirs me up. Why, in one of those verses, he had all those men sitting around. He began to tell them what God had done. How the hand of God was upon him. He didn't have to tell them no foolishness or gimmicks. All that he did was tell them what God said. Amen. They said, let us rise.
Yes, sir.
They'd been sitting down.
Yeah.
He didn't have to prompt them or nothing. They said, let's get up. That meant they'd been laying around. Why, the temple had been built for years.
Right.
Let us strengthen our hands. That means twisted together. Let's get in unity to this good work he talks about. I may preach on that good work before the week's over. Oh, the Word of God, it's wonder, dear friends, have been challenging the saints of God. If you want God to challenge you, just get in that book. Oh, what wonder it is. First of all, you see the wealth of it. You see the wonder of it. That same book's been comforting the suffering down through the years. Isn't it amazing one book can do all this? It convert the lost sinner. It can cleanse the saint. It can challenge the servant. And it can comfort the suffering. Just one book. Oh, the wonder of that book. Lastly, it's been conforming. Conforming the spiritual babes. Why, the same book that comforts the suffering and challenging the saint, it'll conform that little spiritual baby to be like Christ. You remember when you was a kid, how you used to lay around and listen to grown people talk? Three-fourths of what they talked about, you didn't understand what they're talking about. But you'd love to hear them talk anyhow. But a part of it you'd get. Even a kid could understand it. And that's the way it is the Word of God. They may not understand all of it, but what part they do get is going to conform them all along. The wonder of it, number one, it's life-giving. Then second, the wonder of it, it's life-giving. The life that has been giving down through the years, by the psalmist knew when he cried out, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." There is no other light for us to walk in except that that comes from God's word. The apostle Peter tells us we should show forth praise unto him. Then he continues on and said, "Who hath called us?" Where? From out of darkness. Into his light. No, no. Not for light. You talk about just calling us into light. That could be the light of the sun. But there's a greater light that was here before the light of the sun. There's a light that was here in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. He called us into his marvelous light. Thank God. Have you ever wondered what you see when you walk in marvelous light? There's about five things, another message. Let me give them to you quickly. When you walk in marvelous light, you ever wonder what you see that you don't see when you're not in it? Number one, you see when you walk in the marvelous light of the Word of God, you see the dirt that gets on you from walking. Why, that's a principle from the very first teaching of the Word of God. When God says, "Moses, make it after the pattern." Over and over, God said, "Don't you fail to make it after the pattern." Talking about the tabernacle. And the principle God taught there was that it's possible to be defiled in our walk. And when a person has never come to the place to realize that dirt gets on us in this present world, hadn't come very far. But when you walk in the light, the marvelous light of God, you see the dirt that gets on you. That's the reason a person will constantly bicker with a preacher and argue with the Word of God. They're not in any light.
Amen.
Last summer, it got blazing hot down Meansville like it does every summer and everywhere else. Air conditioning wouldn't run. My wife and I were going somewhere, and she was late as usual. I'm telling you, I was burning up. Oh, boy, sweat was rolling. I got ready, went downstairs, and sat down and picked up our neighborhood paper. I don't know where your neighborhood papers like ours are not. I don't believe they print them. I think they just throw the ink at them. And ink got all over my hand. You get through reading the paper, it's black. Did y'all like that? Neighborhood papers. And during the course of waiting on her reading the paper, I did this time or two. She come downstairs. I said, "But it's about time." I said, "You ready?" She said, "Yes, but are you?" I said, "You've been waiting on you. You going like that?" I said, "Yeah, I got a fresh suit. I've taken a bath." She said, "You ought to see your face." I said, "Nothing wrong with my face. I just shaved." She said, "Your face is filthy." I could have stood there and argued with her till it got dark. But one look in the mirror.
Amen.
And don't you realize that the Old Testament teaching, the Word of God, plus the New Testament Corinthian teaching, if a man had just looked into the mirror of the Word of God, he won't have no problem seeing the dirt that gets on him.
Amen.
That's the reason the best people you got in church is the one that stays at the altar about half the time.
Amen.
They see the dirt. And they see the need of a constant cleansing of the Word of God.
Amen.
If you walk in light, you'll see that dirt. I don't mean to preach this, but I don't give it to you. Not only do you see the dirt when you walk in marvelous light of the Word of God, but have you ever thought about how that you see when you walk in light the delights of the journey? You know any of these Christians that long face, and you'd think that they'd just buried their best friend or their loved one? Never have any joy. There was a time in my life, and this is the truth, and God knows it. I got legal in my life. After about 6 or 8 years of preaching, after I began to study some, I went through the four steps that all preachers go through. I investigated this thing of hyper-Calvinism. I don't even like to talk about that. But listen, you get to a place you won't have a bit of joy in your life. I mean, you'll get so fatalistic and everything's already so planned out, you'll just give up. No joy whatsoever. Did you hear that old story about the fellow that sent a deacon down to the depot of the airport to pick up a preacher he had coming in? And he didn't know him. He said, well, you're Clarence. You may pick him out. He's a preacher. He walked up to this fellow and said, are you a preacher? The fellow looked at him and said, Lord, no. He said, it's my indigestion makes me look like this. Isn't it sad, John? Preachers can't laugh. They think they'd crack, burst open if they would ever laugh. God, deliver me! Oh, I know that I'm a lily among thorns, but oh, thank God for the joy. Sometimes it's glory.
Amen,
brother.
I remember one time I had to go to Florida. Somebody said, now, preacher, when you go to Florida, said, be sure to go right down the middle and see all the pretty groves and the fruit trees and all that. Said, it's beautiful. But you know what I did? I left after church on Sunday night, drove all night long, didn't see one orange going down there. And it rained all the way. Now, I got there. But my, I didn't enjoy a bit of that. There's a lot of people going to get to heaven, too. But they're not enjoying a bit of it.
Amen.
They're traveling in the dark. And I decided when I come back, I was going to come back in the daytime.
Amen.
And friend, I made up my mind a long time ago that God's directed me.
Amen.
And His Word is my instruction. And the Holy Ghost is the joy of my soul.
Right.
Quickly, let me hurry. You see the dirt, you see the delight. Why, you see the duty God wants you to perform when you walk in life. You ever see these fellas jump one thing to another? Today, God wants them to do this. Tomorrow, He wants them to do something else.
Amen.
Why, you just get this book, God will show you the duty for your life. With no confusion whatsoever. A fellow told me one time, he said, well, I think God wants me to preach. He said, I didn't know, and went out in the backyard and got down to pray. And said, now, God, if that moon's gone behind that cloud and I get through praying, I'm going to say you called me to preach. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't have no more than that to base it on, there have been some fires I've gone through. I'll guarantee you to knock me out of the saddle. But when God speaks you out of that book, oh, when God signs your name to a verse, oh, when God writes your name beside something, He'll burn it in you. You'll see the duty He wants. There's something else you'll see quickly. You'll see the dangers in the path too when you walk in life. You don't have to fall the traps of the devil every week or every year. You walk in light, praise God, it'll show you the pitfall before you ever fall
Amen,
in them.
Right.
The scripture said you see in the distance, and they shall see the king afar off. Every once in a while I get a glimpse of him.
Yeah.
Garland and I were talking last night. There's sometimes I'll be in a motel room or when I pastored my study, I never let anything hinder me from getting in this book every day. There'd be times I'd lay there and stay there in that study and labor before God. Well, I couldn't even get my mind on studying, but I'd stay there. Maybe right before I started to go home, on that last verse, there'd be a breeze sweep in from heaven.
Yeah.
And I'd see the king afar off. That's worth it all. I'm talking about Daniel kept the word of God open, friends. No wonder God found a light in that man. Oh, the wonder of it. The wealth of it. But you ever notice the willful neglect of it? Anywhere in the Word of God, the Word of God's been neglected, there's always been a pitiful situation. The wealth of it, how profitable. The wonder of it, how perpetual. And thank God, we see clearly the pitiful situation that'll come when it's willfully neglected. When the children of Israel neglected the word of God in Psalms 106, verse 21, thou hast forgotten God. They forgot God, their Savior, and the things that He had done for them in Egypt. If you want a message from God, that verse is it. They forgot that light that God gave them in Egypt when everybody else had darkness. They forgot that lamb God gave them in Egypt when others died. They forgot that liberty God gave them in Egypt. They forgot God their Savior. How pitiful. When the church forgets the Word of God, the world comes in. When a Christian neglects or willfully neglects the Word of God, then he is rejected from service. Saul, God hath rejected thee. Why? Because thou hast rejected the word of God. Daniel, open number one, the word of God, and I must hurry. Second, he opened up his soul to God. In Daniel chapter 9, here he lays before God. If you want to see the heartbeat, the pulse of a man's life, you read that chapter. When he cries out, oh God, oh God, oh God, you feel the very cry of a man's soul as he weeps before God. He opens his soul before God. If God's people just do that. Oh, if we just keep ourselves open before God. How many people in meetings that I'm in will come to an altar, but before they ever get to that altar, the devil's already changed their mind. They never open their soul to God. And they never really come clean with God. I mean, never really come clean. What if David had just come clean with God of that terrible sin? 12 months he harbored that in his heart. When everybody knew it. He didn't think nobody knew, but everybody knew it. Just wonder what would have happened if he had come clean, opened his soul before God. Well, what if Achan had just come clean with God? 36 brave men would have been alive. And on through the scriptures, as our brother preached last night. He opened his soul before God. Let me tell you something. When a person really opens their soul before God, they don't care about nobody else hearing them. They don't even know anybody else is around. When you really get down to the business of God, that soul was kept open before God. God could bless him. He kept his soul open before God. He confessed and he cast all his cares upon the Lord. Then quickly, he opened his windows to God. Now he opened, first of all, his Bible for instruction. He opened his soul to God for inspiration. Now he opens his windows to God in simple faith. That's what God said do. And that's what he done. It wasn't in defiance of the king. He'd been doing this long before the king said don't do it. It's just in simple faith he opened his windows towards God. I wanted to preach this morning on the shield of faith. And in the morning I'm going to preach that. I've preached it everywhere I've ever preached just about. But I'm going to preach it again here in the morning, God let me. The one thing that's got to be in our life is faith. And one of the most misunderstood things in the teaching of the Word of God in the New Testament is faith. Amen. What it is. Boy, if you listen to these television and radio frauds today, you'll go crazy. You believe what they say about faith. But he opened his windows in simple faith to God, knowing what it was going to cost him physically. But because he did that, he opened up something else. Praise God, and he opened up them windows in faith. It got him in trouble. But by him getting in trouble, caused him to open up the windows of heaven.
Amen.
I mean, the windows of heaven was open. How long has it been since you really had the windows of heaven open? Last Friday. Friday at 2:30, right on the dot, I went to a place that I pray. And I don't usually tell things like this. They're too holy with me. A lot of things you don't have to tell. But at 2:30, I went to a place that I pray. It's been a while since this happened just like this. But at 2:30, I said, Dear God, my Father, Lord, please, you know the perplexing problem right this moment. For 4 days, God knows my heart had been pressed. I said, God, would you do something this evening? Before God, before I come out of that room, my wife knocked on the door and told me that God already done it. It's all about a coincidence. I don't care what you call it.
Amen.
Call it what you will. I call it God opening up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can still open the windows of heaven. God said they could.
Amen.
He opened up heaven. And friend, when God opens up heaven, he gets the attention of everybody. In fact, that night, Daniel had the attention of three kings. He had the attention of the king of Babylon. He couldn't even sleep that night. He rolled and twisted while Daniel slept. While God opened up heaven, sent down an angel and locked the jaws of the lions in that den. Daniel went fast asleep while the king of Babylon twisted and rolled. Daniel had the king's attention. Not only did he have the king of Babylon's attention, he had the king of glory's attention.
Amen.
God knew where his little servant was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By God knows where we are.
Yes, sir.
But he also had the attention of the king of beasts. Why, that lion couldn't even bite him. Three kings, God had their attention. When God opens heaven, everything's attentive to him. God starts speaking on your behalf, you just stand and watch it. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm just about full up to here. Well, that was glory to God. Why, Daniel was no different from us. Then the last thing, and I must quit. Daniel opened up the future. And here's the message within itself. Daniel not only opened up his Bible, not only did he open up his soul in the windows of heaven, he opened up, thank God, the future. He opened it up in Daniel 2 for a powerful monarch. Nobody in that land of Babylon, the most powerful kingdom on earth, had the power to interpret it. The king's wishes, or his dreams. That man of God did. He opened up the future for him. Told him exactly what God said. Meant. Chapter 5, he opened it up again. Here he opened it up for a proud man. He wasn't afraid to tell him what God said. That's when he refused that chain. He didn't want that chain. He opened up the future for all people. Five things, I'll read them, that's all. He opened up the future for all people of all time from Daniel 2 to chapter 10. Actually through 12. He opened it up about redemption. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, oh, he told us about the redeeming work of the Lord. He'd be cut off. He told us about the future, about rebellious Israel. In chapters 10, 11, and 12, and it's happened just like God said. He opened up the future about the relentless man of sin. He told us things about him, dear friend, that we'll soon see come to pass. I believe that.
Amen, brother.
He opened up the future about the return of the Lord Jesus in his glory. And he opened up the future about the revelation of Christ. It all started when he was just a young man. And everybody else went one way. Daniel walked with God.
Amen.
He simply kept these things open before God. And it starts out with this. You'll never keep nothing else open if you don't keep that open.
Amen.
The longer I live, the more I'm persuaded that all I need right here. I've known that all my life since I've been saved. But the longer I live, the more precious this book becomes. I can't live without it. Carl and I were talking last night. I'll be honest with you. I have a tendency to get ornery when I don't hear from God. I'm fretful. Are you that way? I must hear from God. Oh, if I don't feel the breath of God, sense God's presence. Feel God, yes. Had a man rebuke me one night because I preached that. I said, fellow, you don't know what you're talking about. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And six others. Nine's the number of the fruit of the Spirit. God divides them nine into three sections for the whole man. And he gives them for the first part of man, the first three, the lowest part of man. His physical being. And the physical man, first of all, can feel love, thank God.
Amen.
If we didn't, we'd all be in a terrible mess, wouldn't we?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Even before I knew God, I loved my wife. I didn't love every other woman. I loved her. It had been foolish man telling me I didn't love her. And I didn't even know God. How foolish, more foolish would it be to tell me I can't feel God now that I know
Amen,
Him.
Brother.
And the love of God. Now, before I ever knew God, I knew what joy was.
Sure.
I remember one time playing baseball. We won the Southeastern Championship. Was going to go to the National Finals. And they took them 10 minutes to contain us. Well, I'd been foolish when I turned and got one of them and said, now contain yourself. You know you don't feel no joy. How much more do I know joy now that I know Him? Peace. A man be foolish telling me I can't feel the peace of God. When peace, like a river, tendeth my soul.
Amen.
It's real. Bow your head, I'm through preaching. Father, thank you for the moments we've had this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, use the word to your glory. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.